Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now, I would ask, dear God, one more time, Lord, for that filling of the Holy Spirit that's needed to preach your word effectively. I pray, Father, that all of our ears would be open, that we might hear, our eyes, that we might see. Heavenly Father, I pray that our hearts would be good ground, that the seed that falls upon it, dear Lord, would bring forth good fruit. I would ask, Heavenly Father, this very day, right now, Lord, if there be someone here that's lost, that you'd save them. God, that you'd call some man to preach. I pray that you'd work in the hearts and lives of each one of us, save the lost. And now, Father, move in upon us as we see this stuff moving in upon us. And now, Lord, we commit this time unto you as we talk about this very, very important subject. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. By way of introduction, I want to take you to Jude chapter 1. And as we look at Jude chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, what do we have here? Historic Bible truth will be under attack and challenged. Historic Bible truth will be under attack and challenged. Already in my lifetime, I'm watching that happen. Some places you cannot even find a King James Bible anymore. But biblical truth is being under attack and challenged. Now listen, that means this: we are living in the face of apostasy. Now Jude verse 3 and 4, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you. Now watch this. And exhort you. In other words, get you awake. The word exhort means to get you awake, get you alive, get your attention, kick you in the rear, kick you in the shins, whatever. I exhort you that ye should earnestly contend. Now, this is the only place in the New Testament that word, particular word, is used. It means to be a combatant in this sense. In other words, like a soldier, you are in combat. So earnestly was placed in the text to emphasize the type of combat we should be having. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now that faith that was once delivered, that is a body of truth given to all believers. All right, so now listen, the responsibility is not just for the preacher or the deacon or the Sunday school teacher. The responsibility is given to all of us, not just some of us. And so what we find when we look at this, to earnestly contend for the faith which was once, not twice, once. It was never lost, once. By that statement, all of these people that claim Reconstructionists, it eliminates a whole bunch of people. Because it was given once. And that word once, the way it's written, means it once for all. It wasn't going to be given again. It wasn't going to be changed. It was once. That's it. When God first saved me, one of the things that really got a hold of me was the reality. I mean, God saved me, and then all of a sudden, man, here's Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. It come to me, now wait a minute. I got to figure this out. Now, my dad was a lost man. He was a research scientist. And self-taught research scientist. But he said one thing to me. I just made mention about all this stuff. He said, well, go back to the beginning. He said, go back what was first. What was first? Go back there and you'll find out. Well, of course, when I went back, especially I got out of the 1800s, that eliminated a whole bunch of religions, didn't it? Well, I went back and back and back, and lo and behold, I realized, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. God gave a body of truth to the believers. Well, where am I going to find that body of truth? Am I going to find it in an NIV? Am I going to find it from some so-called Bible that was translated from heretical text? Where am I going to find that truth? That's why I wound up with this King James Bible. That's why I wound up that which was translated from the received text. A lot, I could go on with that for a long time. But the reality of it is this. There was something that God gave to all believers. And the one thing the devil wants to do is to pervert that thing that God gave to all believers. I exhort you, therefore, ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Once for all. Well, what was it? Was it the Methodist religion? Was it the Catholic religion? Was it the Mormon religion? Was it the Presbyterian religion? Or was it the Episcopal religion? Was it the Pentecostal religion? Was it some of this heretical Baptist stuff you hear today? What was it? Was it a universal church? A universal invisible church? A universal visible church? Or was it a visible local body? What was it when it come to scriptural baptism? What was it when it come to the Lord's Supper? There's this body of truth. Who is Jesus Christ? What did he do? You see, what we find in this, these truths, from the day that God gave them, they came under attack. And I want you to realize, look at verse 4, Jude 1:4. It says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I had to do this for you. Because if I'm going to get into this, I want you to understand the definition of those words. Let's look at them. Crept in. All right, the very verse 4, for there are certain men crept in. That means to settle in alongside you, to come into the church and sit down alongside you, pat you on the back, be a so-called friend and begin to talk to you. They came in unawares, it says. That means they sneak in unnoticed. So you've got these wicked people that come into the church, sit down next to you, unnoticed that they're wicked men, vile men, God-hating men, Bible-hating men. It said of these people, they were unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. In other words, that word ordained means written about before. So what we find then, it was prophesied that from the very beginning of Christ and his church, that there would be opposition to it. It was written in the scriptures that there would be opposition. When Christ said he loved the church and gave himself for it, there would be opposition against it. The devil is not going to let anything get away. Nothing at all. He's going to change everything. He's going to change it theologically. How many colleges and universities do I know? Even my old alma mater. It isn't even worth going to anymore. What have they done? They've attacked the very essence of Christianity. That boy right back there, he's going to Cedarville. But Cedarville today is not what Cedarville was. The fact of it is, they all change. They all change. That's why it's so important for us to know the truth and stand for that truth. It says ungodly men. Now these ungodly men, look at the word, irreverent, living without regard to religious truth, belief, or practice. Boy, does that describe a lot of people today. Does that describe a lot of so-called worship today? Does that describe a whole lot of these so-called preachers and their mega churches today? Does that describe a whole lot of this college worship that's booming today? Does that describe a whole lot? It starts off with the word irreverent. And that's exactly where we're at today. Irreverent. They want everything to center around man, not God. That's why people want to come to a worship service bringing their breakfast. They want to come to a worship service bringing their coffee and their tea. That's why they want to come to the worship service, because it's not a worship service. Man, I'm just going to go in there and sit down and listen to it, and man, we'll have a good show. I'll drink my coffee, tea, eat my biscuit, and just have a good time. I want you to know, you see, it's irreverent. And we've got to understand, it said, ungodly men, irreverent. They have no reverence for the house of God. They have no reverence for the word of God. They have no reverence for the testimony of God. They have no reverence. And listen, when reverence is gone, then everything centers around the people and not God. You remove the reverence, and now it's all about man and not God. Watch this now. Living without regard to religious truth, belief, or practice. Boy, does that describe a lot today. Then it says, denying the only Lord. What's denying mean? It means to contradict authority, disavow biblical truth and authority, to reject, denying, to contradict authority. Boy, isn't that something? I mean, so-called Christians today want to contradict the authority of God the Father and God the Son. I want you to know, you talk about a disgrace. You want to talk about something that ought to scare you to death. I mean, for you to contradict the authority of God, you're saying, God, I'm doing it my way. No, God, I've got an excuse. No, God, I know what you said, but I'm going to do something else. God, I know you said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but now, God, I'm going to do it this way. What you're doing is contradicting the authority of the Word of God to do it your way. And I want you to know, your way is wrong. We are in a war. And that war is said to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. We're in a war. Now listen, you've got to war right. That's one thing. But you've got to recognize you're in a war. One of the reasons that America's in the mess it's in right now, because the communists said in the 70s, we'll dumb America down to the point that they won't even recognize what a communist is. You know, that's where we're at. That's what they've done. You know, what a tragedy it is. Now, look at your notes. I want you to see something. Where do we find this in the Bible? Where do we find this stuff about this one world religion? We'll start in the Old Testament, wind up in the New. One of the passages of Scripture that's used is one of the prophecies of Daniel. We find that what's going to happen here, Nebuchadnezzar is going to build him a big image of gold. Let's start reading. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Whoa, Babylon, Babylon. Are you familiar with Babylon? Yeah. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded." Oh, look at that now. O people, nations, and language, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. Verse 6, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. What we have here is simply a prophecy about this subject, one world religion. Nebuchadnezzar said, "You're going to do it my way or die." Isn't that right? That's what he said. You're going to do it my way or die. Well, there were some guys that didn't do it his way. And there's always somebody that's going to think on you. Now look at verse 12 there, and then we'll have to spend some time on this. There are certain Jews. Now mark the word Jews. That means these men were of a different religion. These men had their religion. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I want you to know the same accusation I've heard flung out at Christians. There are certain Christians that's not going to go along with the ecumenical movement. There's certain Christians that's not going along with the religion of socialism of the day. There's certain Christians that's just not going to do it. They're not going to worship the God of humanism. They're not going to do that. They're not going to worship the God of mixed Bibles in church. It's a confusion. And God's not the author of confusion, is he? See, there's some Christians that's going to stand for the truth. I mean, when I say stand for that truth, Jesus Christ was the only sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Jesus Christ is the only mediator. Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. I want you to realize, ladies and gentlemen, these men, like he said here, they serve not thy gods nor worship the golden image. You see, what we find here is this, is the reality with the one world religion. They want you to worship their gods. They want you to worship what they value, the golden image. That's what they want. And if you don't do it, they'll kill you. There's a challenge being set here. Verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Now you need to underline the first part of that verse. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury. What happens to the world when you're not willing to be part of it? Man, it makes some people boiling mad, doesn't it? I mean, you get around the transgender people and tell them that God only made two, male and female. Get around this crowd that worship humanity more than anything. You talk about making them mad, they'll get mad. Just like Nebuchadnezzar did in his rage and fury. You got to worship my gods. No, I don't. And I'm not. The reality of it is this. When you stand for truth, expect the world to go into a rage. Because they want you to become part of it. Just like Nebuchadnezzar went into a rage. Go to verse 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? Is it true? Is it true that you would do this? My first challenge to you folks, to myself, is this. How would you answer that question? You made your stand and your boss come to you and said, hey man, is it true? It's like this, well, this one fella I knew worked in a workplace. They brought in some moral perverts. And he went and told the boss, he said, I'm not working with them. You got to. He said, no, I don't have to. He said, well, I'll fire you. He said, fire me. He said, but you got to understand something. God said, and regardless of how you view it, boss man, those people are moral perverts. And I don't want them touching me, let alone eyeballing me like I'm a sex object for some of them. Well, they won't do that. He said, they won't do that. You're crazy. I've already been scoped out like I was a naked woman. I'm not going to do it. He said, well, you're fired. He said, thank you. I'll collect my unemployment from you. The strange part of it is they fired him. 2 weeks later, once they got rid of all that crowd, they hired him back. They went and begged him to come back, matter of fact. Look at the question. Is it true? Listen, if we're going to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, somebody's going to ask, is it true? Is it true that you believe that God is sovereign in salvation? Absolutely. Is it true that you believe in the doctrine of election? Absolutely. The Bible teaches it chapter after chapter after chapter. Is it true that you believe that we have a word of God? If I didn't believe this book was the word of God, I'd throw it in the garbage and find the one that it's supposed to be and tell all of you to get it. Is it true that you believe in a local church? Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. The fact of it is it true that I believe you shouldn't go to the movie house? Absolutely. Do I believe that you should not mix bathe? All of you run around half naked, quarter naked, almost completely naked with other people that's all naked and hanging out. You might say, well, that's a swimming suit. That's crazy. The insanity of that. Would you women walk in this church wearing nothing but a slip? Well, no, that's an undergarment. No, but you'll take all of that off. You'll take your slip off, your bra off, and everything else off, and you'll put on something that wouldn't make a pair of leggings for a rat and wear that in public. You see the insanity of it? The truth of it is this, like he said, is it true? Yes, there is some truth. God's word is true. Amen. God's word is true. There is some truth. I've had people say, well, you can't say that. Yeah, I can. Why? The word of God declares, John 17:17, thy word is truth. That's it. Either we're going to live by truth or we're not. That's all there is to it. Is it true that you're not going to do that? Mm-hmm, that's true. Watch this now. Look at the next statement. O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now watch this. Now if ye be ready. You better underline that a couple of times. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound, if ye be ready, if ye be ready. In other words, he's saying, listen, are you ready to accept our lifestyle? Are you ready to accept us? Are you ready to believe in my gods and get rid of your God? Are you ready to turn my gods into your gods? Are you ready to forsake Jehovah God and accept my gods? Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to do that? I'm going to give you this opportunity. Are you ready to do that? You see, that's what the world is saying to you people. Are you ready to do it our way? Are you ready to accept our moral standard? Are you ready to trash the word of God and accept our lifestyle? Are you ready to accept us like we are? Are you willing to accept our religion? Are you willing to accept our God? Are you willing to do that? Well, here, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. That's what the Catholic Church used to say to a lot of people right before they burned them at the stake. Are you ready to accept the Catholic way of life? Are you willing to do this? And if they would say no, they'd burn them at the stake. That question flies right in the face of you people this morning and everybody that'll hear this. Now, if ye be ready, I'm going to give you a chance. Now, if you're ready, here's what'll happen. Either it's my God. Now, watch what he says in the rest of verse 15. All right, this is Daniel 3:15. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound. And look what he says. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You see that? In other words, that's exactly how the world thinks today, isn't it? Your God can't deliver you out of our hands. Your God's weaker than the gods we've created. Your God can't do this. We've got more power than your God does. Your God can't take it. You want to bet? You see, is it true? Now, if ye be ready, now listen to me, look up here. Let me tell y'all something. Here's the tragic part about this. There's a lot of people that'll hear this over the internet and so on, and you people sitting right here this morning. If ye be ready, the tragic thing is this. A lot of people think they're ready. They think they can handle it. They think they can deal with it. And you can't. You think you are. You think you can. Listen, it's easy to talk big when you're not in combat. It's easy to brag about what you're going to do and what you're not going to do when you're not put in a place to have to live up to what you've said. It's easy to become a hero in your own mind. But everything changes when you have to prove it. And we're at a point now, ladies and gentlemen, and I exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That's why it's so important for all of you men in this room to take the time to study the Word of God, learn the Word of God, learn the doctrines of God. Why? So you can defend the faith. And that way you can teach your family, you women sitting here. I've known some women in the past, I'd have stood them up against anybody when it came to the truth. Man, they could contend for the faith, I'm telling you. The reality of it, listen, stop listening to me. Stop listening to me. Because some of you just want to hear me. But you're not willing to leave this place and listen to God. At some point in your life, you've got to listen to God. If you don't have the ability to stand for truth, you'll fall for anything. It's tragic, isn't it? All right. Now let's see the attitude we need to have. I like this. I like this. Here's what we need. Here's what we need. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, I love this. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not careful. Boy, that flies in the face of a lot of Christians, doesn't it? Oh, man, they want to talk around it. They want to be careful how they say it. It's like some Christians say, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Offend anybody? Truth will always offend somebody. That's all there is to it. I went up to a drunk one time and I said, you're nothing but a sorry drunken sot. He said, that's offensive to me. I said, well, if the truth hurts, wear it. I said, I didn't come up here to call you a sorry, drunken, worthless piece of trash for no reason at all. I said, I want to tell you something that you'll walk away from me mad. You'll walk away from me maybe thinking, well, that's what I really am. You see, these guys were not going to be careful to tell the king the truth. They were just going to tell him the truth. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, y'all stayed quiet on that one, didn't you? Watch this now, verse 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Now look what verse 18. But if not, I like that. We don't care. Listen, folks, let's look up here. Their convictions were so strong for their God, Jehovah, the true and the living God. They said, but if not, in other words, we're not going to worship your God. Our God is the true and the living God, and if he does not want to deliver us out of this thing, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. How plain is that? How plain is that? Well, you know the rest of the story, right? Man, to the burning fiery furnace they went. The men that went to throw them in the furnace would burn up, but they weren't. Man, what a day. You see, there's a reality to this. Let me ask you a question. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image. But if not, is anybody in this room or anybody's going to hear this? Are you to the place where you'd say, but if not? I know my God can, but if not, I'm still not going to do it. But if not, you might say, well, that's just a little statement. No, no, that's a life or death statement. But if not, in other words, these young men were willing to say, if it's God's will, it's good if we live. If it's God's will, we'll die. But I know one thing, I'm not going to worship your gods nor that golden image. I serve the true and the living God, and I don't care what you threaten me with, I'm not going to change. I want you to know the one thing we need today in Christianity is some men and some women, some boys and some girls that have that type of resolve for the true and the living God. You might say, well, that's in the Old Testament. That's that one world religion. Well, look at the bottom of your notes. I've, about a half a century ago, I wrote in my Bible right here, in Revelation 13, verse 15, one world religion. In verse 16, I wrote one world economy. Wow. Let's look at that now. Let's bring it home to you. Revelation 13, verses 15, 16, and 17. We talk about the beast, prophet, so on. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Guess what? There's a one world religion coming. And if you're not part of that one world religion, and if you're not going to worship that image, it said you should be killed. I want you to know it's going to take in these end times some people with convictions about the Word of God. It's going to take people that's got the convictions about the Son of God. It's going to take people that's got convictions about the Word of God. People has got some convictions about the truths of the Word of God. People has got convictions that's going to stand for what the church really is. Church was God's idea, not man's. There's a reality to this. And cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Well, that's a miraculous thing. But I want you to know something. Jesus Christ was miraculous in his birth. Jesus Christ was miraculous in his life. Jesus Christ was miraculous in his horrible death upon the cross for you and me. Jesus Christ was miraculous in his resurrection and his redemption for you and me. Jesus Christ, I want you to know something. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You realize the devil might claim that here on this earth, but he didn't make the earth. The Bible says when it comes to Christ that all things were made by him and nothing that was made without him. He made it all. The devil might say, you do this on earth, but I want you to know, he's not the ruler. Jesus Christ is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is our Savior. Jesus Christ, he paid the price on the cruel cross of Calvary for you and me. He shed his blood for you and me. He purchased our redemption. He's worthy of worship. Amen. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of everything we can give him. He's worthy of your life. Just think about it. Commit your life to him and it's just your reasonable service. We need some men and women that's going to stand for truth, live or die, sink or swim. Verse 16, Revelation 13, 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Would you take the mark or say no? I'm not doing it. Look at this. Look at the threat. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible's quite clear. He says this, that you'll be hated for his name's sake. The Bible's quite clear on this. You'll be hated of all nations for his name's sake. You'll be hated by the devil, by the beast, by the false prophet, by all of those that side with the world. That's the truth of it. Christianity is an amazing thing to me in this sense. The reason, now listen to me, the reason Christianity is so amazing is this. If I tried just recruiting you to Christianity, you'd say, man, you're crazy. You're nuts. I'd say, oh, yeah, man, come on, be a Christian. They'll burn you at the stake. They'll hang you. They'll kill you. You're going to be hated of all nations for his name's sake. All of the non-Christians around you, including your family members, are going to hate you. All for his name's sake. Come on, be one of us. Oh, wait, whoa. I mean, when it comes to that, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have a good recruiting tool. About the only good recruiting tool we have is this. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse you from all sin. Here, the Bible says, here you might have tribulation. But know this. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hey, this place is no permanent place for us. God's got another place for us. Amen. You see, with that in mind, we're always under the threat, aren't we? We're always under the threat. Is it true? We're always under the threat. Are you ready? We're always under the threat. Now, if you don't do this, we're going to throw you in the furnace. We're always under the threat. Man, if you don't worship, we're going to kill you. Man, we're always under the threat. If you don't get the mark, then you're not going to be able to buy, sell, trade, do nothing. We're always under the threat. That's why true salvation is so important. Because only those people that are truly born again by the Spirit of God are going to be able to stand against the onslaught of the hatred of God and Christ. Only those people that are truly born again will be able to do that. If Christ did not save some, if we were not truly created a new creature in Christ Jesus, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. If God did not do something in us, none of us would be able to stand. There's one thing about the people of God. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read Martyrs of the 20th century. Realize that even as we have this church service here today, that there's Christians in Africa, in China, in other communist countries that are in prison right now, this day, in prison, because they're Christians, and they would not. Is it true? Yes, I am. Are you ready? Are you a Christian? Wow. How many times have I told you over the years about one of the dearest and sweetest Christian girls I ever knew? Her name was Tuki. And Tuki, 28 years old, had been married just a short time. They took their house, their little house, about the size of one section of these pews. They took the boards out of the walls and made pews so they'd have a place to worship. Got in that truck, hit the car she was in. She was in the hospital. And her old daddy, that was a saved guy, and some others would go up there and pray with her. And then one day, the Russians and the communist soldiers walked in. This is when Ceausescu was still in power in Romania. And they looked at Tuki laying in that bed. Her sister was with her. And they said, "Tuki, are you a Christian?" It's kind of like this here. Is it true? Is it true that you're a Christian? Her sister said that Tuki raised up on one arm, straightened her little gown because she knew her answer would probably mean her death. And she looked them right square in the face and said, "Yes, I am." Well, they wouldn't let her out of the hospital. And Christians at that time were not allowed any medicine. They were not allowed to hold a job above common labor. They were not allowed to have colored pencils or paper. Nothing. And so Tuki, they took her off all of her medication and everything. She lapsed into a coma the first part of January and died the last part of January. Is it true that you're a Christian? Yes, I am. What would you have said? Would you have had the courage to say, "Yes, I am"? Would you have had the courage not to take the mark? Would you have had the courage to not worship the golden image of the gods of Nebuchadnezzar? Do you have the convictions in you to stand for the Word of God, the doctrines of God, the Church of God, Christ, His sacrifice? Is it real enough to you that when the world comes to you and says, "Is it true?" Tuki knew, if I say yes, if I say yes, I'm signing my death warrant. And Tuki said, "Yes, I am." That's the people that me and her used to work with. I would to God that some of you people would become that quality of a Christian. Not eat up with this American worldliness, but that you would be a Christian, committed to Christ, living a Christian life, having convictions about the truths of the Word of God. Amen. May some of you, may the Spirit of God come into you and make you that quality of a Christian. May it happen to you. Tukey left her testimony on my heart. Tukey left her testimony on my heart. Tukey left her testimony on my heart. Now, why don't you live in such a way that you'll leave a good, solid Christian testimony on somebody else's heart? Have you thought about that? About you leaving a testimony on somebody else's heart? Now that ought to be our goal. Not for some of us. For all of us. For all of us. Are you going to leave a testimony on somebody else's heart, on somebody else's soul, in somebody else's mind? That's what counts. Jesus Christ, He saved my wretched soul. May He save yours. May you be committed. May you be like these boys. Boys, boys, boys. We're not careful to answer thee. We'll tell you where we stand on it. If our God wants us to live, we'll live. If He wants us to die, we'll die. But we're not going to do that. May you and me and this church have convictions of that quality. May our lives just be given over to the God of heaven and the Christ of our salvation. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would, please, as we go to the Lord in prayer.